turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 in just a moment. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. And if God will allow us, I just want to expound on this portion of Scripture. As we begin this morning learning and understanding, there are many difficulties. There's many trials in life. There's many problems in life. The Bible said that it rains on the just and the unjust. I believe one of the greatest deceptions in modern day religion is the television evangelist, this false religion of health, wealth, and prosperity. It tells us that if we are faithful enough, we should never be sick. We should never have problems in this life. We should always have plenty of money if we give enough to their ministry. But according to the Word of God, there are men like the Apostle Paul. There are men like this man named Job that was already spoken of this evening. They were faithful to God. They were righteous men of God. But yet God allowed them to suffer. We understand every child of God should be a student of the Word of God. Allow me to take another step in this process. Every child of God should be a dedicated student of the Word of God. Well, what I believe is not opinion. What I believe, I'm thrilled that we are in a Baptist church. There's a reason we believe the doctrine and our forefathers that have been there in the past. But I am not a Bible believer because of the Baptist. I should believe the Bible because I'm a child of God. This is our doctrine. This is who we are. This is what we stand on as a child of God. Every child of God should dedicate themselves to study, to reading, to understanding the things of God. I have heard this until I'm absolutely sick of this particular statement. They'll say things about our Bible. They'll say things about the Bible as if they cannot understand it. And we mentioned this morning there are many things in the Bible that we cannot understand. But we also understand if I am a child of God, I have the teacher living inside of me. It's an amazing thing when you read the Bible correctly and when you study the Bible correctly, the opening of the books and the light that God gives you as the Spirit of God begins to remind you of the things of God. This is not a textbook that I hold in my hands. I have a large library. I love books. I love reading. I love studying philosophy. I love studying the right kind of psychology. There's many historical books and volumes that I have in my library. But can I say all of those are man's opinion? What I hold in my hands tonight, this is not the opinion of man. This was not written, though it was penned by men. It was given by the Holy Spirit. This is the inspired Word of God. Every Christian should read the Bible. Every child of God should study the Word of God. Every answer that you need somewhere is found in the pages of the Word of God. As we begin this thought of the suffering of the believer and the trials of life that every child of God will go through, the brokenness that God allows in our life, we understand that it was the Apostle Paul before his salvation that there was no suffering. Before his salvation, as a matter of fact, he was very educated. That they estimate that there were three great religious institutions in the day of the Apostle Paul, but there was one religious institution. It was the Harvard or the Yale of the day, and that's where the Apostle Paul historically received his education. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. To be qualified to be a Pharisee, he either memorized much of the Old Testament of the Word of God, or he most likely memorized all of the Old Testament of the Word of God. This man had political clout before salvation. This man was the head of the religious regime where he was stationed before his salvation. But after his salvation, he began to suffer. There were trials in his life. I thought to myself, God, why is it that the most godly people I know, they seem to suffer the most? God, sometimes I don't understand how a man or a woman can be faithful all of these years, but yet you allow them to suffer in this body and in this life. As the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, historically it has been said that he did not just write two letters to the church of Corinth, but they say, most likely he has written four letters to the church of Corinth, but God only chose two of those letters to place in what we know to be the canon of the Scriptures. And in 1 Corinthians, it is given as a practical theology. Oh yes, this congregation had problems, and oh yes, this congregation, it had sin, and there were trials, and there were situations, and the Apostle Paul wrote this down in the first letter to the church of Corinth to remind them how to live and to remind them how to behave as a child of God. And let me say it this way, if I am saved, if I am a child of God, I don't live holy and righteous to get to heaven, but I ought to live holy and I ought to live righteous because I'm on my way to heaven. There is no room for sin in the life of the believer. And Paul reminded them that we are the children of God. 1 Corinthians. It is a practical theology. But you will find, and I encourage you to read the entirety of 2 Corinthians, it is more of a personal theology. He is still writing to the same congregation in many ways and in many aspects. He is still writing in some of the same problems and even some of the same sins that had not been corrected, but now the attitude is different in his writing. Can I say, if you studied the Bible, yes, if you're physically able or possible, you should know the writer of that particular book. It will remind you of the tone of the Scriptures. It will show you what that writer is thinking as he is pinning this down by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. But you should also be reminded of the audience who is written to. And Paul is writing to the same congregation. He is writing to the same people. But his attitude, it has changed. In 2 Corinthians. Tonight, before you lay your head on your pillow, read the first 11 chapters. And you'll find that everything that he has said and everything that he has mentioned, it is leading up to chapter number 12. I certainly wish we could take time tonight, but we will not do that, to read every chapter from chapter number 1 to chapter number 11, the things that he had dealt with and the personal things that he has already shared. But everything that he has written, it is all leading up to this one chapter. Watch the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Paul reminds us in verse number 1. I love the language of this Scripture. It is not expedient. In other words, there is no profit. It is of no good for me doubtless to glory. That means to brag or to boast on anything that Paul said that I have done. Paul said the things that have happened in my life, there's no reason to brag. There's no reason to boast. It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. But notice what he continues to say in verse number 1. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. God will do something for me. God will bless me in a way that no one could ever dream and no one can ever imagine. Can we be very honest, especially in the United States of America? God has blessed us and God has been good to us. God has done things for our country that we could never dream and we could never imagine. Paul said, I have something I could brag about, but it's no use, it's no good, it is no profit. I will come to visions and to revelations. Watch verse number 2. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. I love this. God knoweth. It doesn't matter if Paul knows. It doesn't matter if anyone else knows. Paul said, God knows the details of this revelation. I cannot tell this. Such a one called up to the third heaven. Notice verse number 3. He's emphasizing what he has already said. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. But here's the importance. God knows. Paul said, it really don't matter if I know every detail. It really don't matter if I understand everything that God has done. But God knows what he has done for me. And can I say this way tonight? It really don't matter if I know every detail that God has done in my life. But we do serve an omniscient God. We do serve an all-knowing God. And everything that has happened in your life and everything that has taken place in your life, the only thing that matters is God is still on the throne. And God is still in control. God knoweth your life. Brother Childers, I've read articles. There's even been two books that I've read, whether Paul was in the body or whether Paul was out of the body. And one will say he was in the body and one will say he was out of the body. Can I just make this statement? If Paul didn't know, I sure don't know. But it really is not the emphasis on what God is saying. God knows every detail of this vision and this revelation. So notice the Bible in verse number 4. How that he was caught up into paradise. And he heard unspeakable words. That means they're inexpressible. That means we don't have the language down here to express what he heard up there. I thank God for my King James Bible, and I'm going to use it the rest of my life, and I believe it's God's Word, and I believe God preserved it, and I believe, but I heard some ignorant man say that we're going to speak English in heaven. I thought to myself, do you realize how lazy the English language is? There's words in the English language. There's things that God's going to say to us. You can't say that in English. I'm just here to tell you, I don't know all that, but I know one thing. When you get to heaven one day, and when I get to heaven one day, it's going to be worth it all, and we're going to hear things up there we've never heard down here. He'll be able to say things up there he just can't say down here. It'll be a glorious day for the child of God. Yeah. He said they were inexpressible.
Yeah.
What he heard when he was whether in the body or whether out of the body. Can I say this? Number one, look at verse number 5 in the exposition. Look at the direction of his glory. Verse 5, of such a one I glory, speaking of God. Of such a one will I brag, or I will boast. Yet of myself. One of the greatest men of God that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ. Paul said, yet of myself. I'm not going to glory. I'm not going to brag. I'm not going to boast on anything. Paul, but you have run much of the New Testament of the Word of God. Paul, don't you understand? You was the one that prayed and began to praise, and the jail cells were shaken and the doors were open. Paul, you were there when many got raised up. You were there when the miracles happened. Paul, you're an apostle like any other apostle. There's a great advantage that God has given you. And Paul said, none of those things will I boast. You know what that means? We have nothing to brag in ourselves. We have nothing in ourselves to boast. When my Rachel got cancer, my wife, on January 6th, 2022, they told her on Harper Road, I drive by that building every now and then just to remember. They looked at both of us and said, she has a few weeks, a few months. At the most, she has a year to live. We were devastated. Many of you began to pray, and certainly we began to pray. I began to beg God. The first thing I did when we got home, Adley, my daughter wasn't with us, and we gathered in our living room, and we made a little circle in our living room. I began to pray, oh God, we believe you. Oh God, we trust you. Oh God, I've watched you heal cancer before. God, I believe you're going to do it again. And in agreement, we believe that God would give us our miracle. We believe that God would heal her cancer. I remember the day she got the report that said no more cancer. I remember the day they said no chemo, no radiation. I remember the day and we began to praise God and we began to give God the glory. And she went back on the road, and everywhere that she would go, she would stand up and testify to the miracles of God and to the goodness of God. You know what I did every now and then? I thought to myself, it must have been my prayers. We must be something special. If God did that for us, we must be somebody that He thinks a whole lot of. God healed her cancer. But when the cancer came back, I found out that I'm no different.
Yes, sir.
I found out when God didn't heal the cancer the second time that in myself I have nothing to boast in.
Right.
I have nothing to glory. Paul said, yes, yes, God's blessed me. But I'm not going to boast on the blessing.
Right.
But notice the direction of His glory. Look at the Word of God. In the expedition, the direction of His glory is such a one. When I glory, speaking of God, yet of myself I will not glory. Look at verse 5. But in mine infirmities. That's an amazing English word. It's old English. Modern English is so lazy. It simply means this. We don't even use it correctly anymore. But it has to do, not with trials, not with valleys, though there's many trials and there's many valleys, but it has everything to do with your weaknesses. Paul said, I'm not going to boast on the letters I've written and God's going to use for thousands of years. I'm not going to boast on the time that I prayed and the jail cell came open and I prayed and God began to send me. I'm not going to boast on that. But if I'm going to brag on anything, I'm going to tell you about my weakness.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm going to tell you how weak I really am. And myself. You know what that means? There is no way the Apostle Paul went to a Baptist Bible college because they focused on your talents and your abilities. And God's going to use that man because look at his talents. God's going to use that young lady because look at such abilities. But somewhere in the back of the classroom, God says, no, there's somebody back there that's so weak. There's somebody so feeble. That's the one I'm going to use. That's the one that's available unto me. Paul said, I will not brag on my blessing. I will not brag on my ability. But if I say anything, I will brag. I will boast on my weakness.
Amen.
Watch the Bible. Look at the direction of His glory. Number two, not only the direction of His glory, but look at them. Verse 6, the desire of His glory. For though I would desire to glory, Paul said, I'm just a man.
Sure.
I'm just flesh.
Sure.
I'll be honest with you. If God let us do what the Apostle Paul did in his body, we probably would have bragged. Because
yeah.
Even Paul said, I desire the glory. But notice what he goes on to say. I shall not be a fool.
Yeah.
You know what that means? There's a lot of foolish preaching in this day and hour.
Yeah.
Paul said, I have it in me, but I don't want to be foolish. Fine, here's the desire. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, I refrain myself. Sin a man, why Paul, should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. If anybody could have bragged, it was the Apostle Paul. If anybody could have said, I did this and I had this ministry and God used it, it was the Apostle Paul. But Paul said, I don't want to be foolish. I don't want anyone to think of me.
Right.
Above that he seeth me to be.
Right.
I don't even want my reputation to be the wrong thing in my life.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to hear something that is not true concerning my life. Not only, we're almost there, look at the direction of his glory, the desire of his glory, but number three, look at verse 7. Notice the detriment of his glory. And lust! I should be exalted above measure.
Yeah.
Why, Paul? Through the abundance of the revelation. You know, Paul said, because of my blessing.
Yeah.
We have been so blessed in America.
Yeah.
Our brother was praying to open up the service. I'm going to confess. I lifted up my eyes and my head. I wanted to see who was praying. Because what he prayed about American politics is exactly right. We say, oh, God bless America. But when we say that, we're not talking about salvation. We're not meaning to save somebody's soul and change our life for holiness. We want more prosperity. We want more things. We want to get somebody in the White House that'll give us more money in our bank account. And souls are dying and going to hell without Jesus. But let's be very honest. God has been good to us. You know the Bible just said, because of my blessing, there is given to me a thorn. Now, if I hadn't have been blessed so much, if I didn't have this spiritual power that everybody seems to want, if I wasn't able to pray like I pray, God wouldn't have gave me this thorn. But because of my vision, because of my revelation, God has given me a thorn in the flesh. And look at the description of the thorn. The messenger of Satan to buffet, literally, to beat me. Why, Paul? Lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul said, about the time I begin to pray and God answer my prayers, about the time I'm on a ship that's about to go down and God saves our life, I think I'm somebody and I think I'm something. And then the thorn begins to beat me and the thorn begins to remind me I'm nothing without Christ.
That's good.
I know what my thorn is. Every day of my life for the last 3 years, the same messenger begins to beat me. All of my friends, preacher friends, all of my preacher friends, their wives are alive.
Yeah.
Their wives are able to go with them.
Yeah.
Their wives sit at the table. They don't go back to an empty house. I know what my thorn is. When God somehow, some way, uses me in this country, if I begin to think I'm anybody I'm not, that thorn will beat me and remind me I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I'm learning to lean. It's took a long time, Lord, but I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I need more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Him. We ask God to bless us, but we must be very careful with that request. This 21-year-old preacher, I was in a hotel room with a great man of God. I'll travel with him, and he was such a blessing to me. That night, we got back to the hotel room, and he was on one side of the room, and I was on the other side, just with this 21-year-old preacher. Just been preaching a year. We talked a little bit and about the service, and the man of God said, "Brother Dale, let's pray before we rest a while." I remember he got on his knees on one side. I got on my knees on the other side. And on his knees, he said, "Now, Brother Dale, you pray first." God moved in that service. An hour before God touched that man of God, I was there when God took over his spirit. I seen lives that were changed that night. I began to pray, "Oh God, I don't want to be a normal preacher. God, I want your power. God, I want your touch. God, I want your strength." And all of a sudden, in the middle of my prayer, I hear his voice on the other side of the hotel room. "Brother Dale? Brother Dale?" "Yes? Do you mean it?" "Preacher, you know I mean it." He said, "Well, get ready. You're going to suffer."
Yeah.
I had no idea what that truly meant. And I will tell you, God has blessed me. God has been good to me.
Sure.
But you don't want to go down this road unless you mean it.
Yes, sir.
Paul said, "I have the thorn because he did bless me. I feel the beating when he uses me in my life." Have you ever looked at a family that seems like they have everything? Have you ever looked at a preacher in ministry? It seems like they have nothing but blessing. They seem to never, oh, they got little problems and they got bad days, but they've never suffered like you've suffered. They've never suffered the loss like you've suffered the loss, and you're thinking, what's wrong with me? What have I done? There's nothing wrong.
That's good.
Because if God is using you, there will be a thorn.
Yeah.
I am convinced that many ministries, it's not of God. Well, they may be driving nicer cars. They have more people in the auditorium. They have multi-million dollar ministries. But it's not of God. Because if it is of God, before God does bless you, God will allow the pain. And God will allow the suffering. I'm here to tell every mother and father. I'm here to tell every young person. Yes, you want the blessing of God. Yes, you want the power of God. But you must have a thorn.
Yes, sir.
Because if you don't have the thorn, you'll brag and you'll boast. And every time I hear a preacher bragging on what he's done, I'm thinking to myself, you don't have the thorn. I doubt what you're doing has anything to do with God. Because other than Jesus, in my mind, there's no greater man than the Apostle Paul. And God gave him this thorn.
Yes.
Mothers and fathers, you ought to beg God to use your children for His work. But there's going to be a thorn. You ought to ask God to use your family. There's no greater life than a life of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. It don't matter about fame. It don't matter about fortune. It don't matter about money. God will take care of all those things. But it does matter what they've done for the Lord Jesus Christ. It does matter if they've lived for God or not lived for God. But if God chooses to use them, there will be a thorn in their life. Watch the Bible. We understand that it was because of the blessing. God gave him this thorn, the detriment of His glory, the messenger of Satan to buffet, to beat me, lest I should be exalted. But look at verse number 8. Look at the departure of this glory. For this thing, the thorn, the pain, the heartache, the sorrow of this fault. It has to do with this. I pleaded 3 times. I begged God. God, take it away. God, the pain becomes unbearable. God, I can't understand this. God, I pray and I ask God, I beg you that it might depart from me. This is a man that would pray in the jail cell and the doors would open. This is a man that would pray for others and God would touch him. This is a man that would pray in the storm and the storm would cease. This is a man that knew how to pray. 3 times. God, I beg you. God, in the mind of Paul, God, I could do so much more if you'd just take away this. God, I could just do, I'd go on more missionary journeys. I would establish more churches. I would write more letters. God, take away the thorn. See the departure of glory. When God healed my Rachel, a good friend of mine told another friend of mine, two pastors in Maryland and Pennsylvania. My pastor friend in Maryland told my other pastor friend, oh, I'm so glad that God healed Rachel. Dale wouldn't have a ministry if it wasn't for Rachel. And now 3 years later, I thought to myself, he's right. God, I can't do this. God, there's no way I can go without her. God, I don't know how you're going to do it. God, I know you're not going to raise her from the dead yet. God, I beg you. But I know God will never take this thorn away. So here's the message. Not only the departure, but number 5, look at the design. The design of this glory. And he said, verse number 9, it's amazing, some of the books I read, Pastor, I read a book. It was a very cute message, but it wasn't biblical, but it's very cute. And so the title of the book, the whole subject was Why God Didn't Answer the Prayer of the Apostle Paul. I'm thinking, just read the next verse, he answered. He answered. But he didn't give the answer Paul thought he would. Look what he answered, the design of this glory. He said unto me, he answered, My grace, Paul, is sufficient. For thee, that's personal. That means for your thorn, Paul. So sufficient, and when we think of it this way in modern English, sufficient is just enough or barely. That's not what he said. It's more than enough. It's more than desire. I'm not going to take away the thorn, Paul, but about the time the thorn begins to beat you and about the time you feel the pain of the thorn, you'll feel more grace than you'll feel the pain. My grace is sufficient for thee. So what's the design for my strength? Omnipotent power is made perfect, complete. Watch this. In weakness. If I want God's power, I have to become weak. If I want God to use me in any way, I have to become very small to feel His power. I want to tell every Christian in this building, God wants to use you. You say, but if God would take this away, if God would give me more money, if God would give me a better job, if God would have gave me more talent, if God would have done these things, God don't have to do anything in your life. Because God wants to use your weakness.
Yes, sir.
Your pain. Your sorrow. Why? Look at what he said. Speaking of the glory. Here's the message, the design of this glory. Most gladly, Paul said, here's the design. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. Why, Paul? The power of Christ. Watch this. Look at the tone of the Scripture. May rest not inside of me, but upon me. We all, if you're saved, we all have the Spirit of God in us. But when you let God, thank you, Lord, use your weakness, His power will be revealed outside of us. When you say, God, this is all I have, but you let Him have it, He'll be revealed on the outside.
Yeah.
I want our brother to come help us with this invitation. So here's the conclusion. Watch the Bible. Look at the design of this glory. Verse 10, therefore. Because now I'm not asking one more time for God to take away my thorn. Therefore, watch verse 10. Now I'm glad about my infirmities. Therefore, I take pleasure. And what, Paul? Your letters, your mission trips, your... No. I take pleasure in infirmities. That's a strange application.
Yeah.
In reproaches and necessities. In persecutions and distress. But look at the sovereign aspect. For Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Paul said, I'll keep my thorn. For Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll keep the pain. For Him?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought Bible college, I thought training and preparing and reading, dedicating. That's how God will use me. Little did I know, God just wanted to make me weak for His sovereignty.
Yeah, that's good for you.
I don't know your trials. I don't know what you think you need in life. Yes, young person, God wants to use your abilities. God wants to use your talents. If you're a good basketball player, shoot a basketball for Jesus. Do it for the Lord. But I tell you what He'll really use. Your weakness. There's young men in this building that's saying, I could never be a preacher. I can't even give a book report in front of the classroom. I'd wait a while. It's probably the one. Young ladies sitting here thinking, God, I can't sing like those ladies can sing. And that brother, I can't do that. God, I can't do none of those things. God, can't you? Just hold on. God could do something amazing with your life. Paul thought, if he just didn't have the thorn, he could do so much more. But what he didn't realize, he was doing more with the thorn than without the thorn. So here's the closing. Watch the Bible. Not only was there a sovereign aspect, a strange application, but there's a strength that is afforded. In verse 10, for when I, Paul said, now me, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said, I was educated. That's wonderful. I'm for education. Get as much as you can. That's not what Paul's talking about. Paul said, what I came to realize because I had the thorn is that my weakest point. I have more strength for God than at my strongest point in my own self. Ma'am, God is an amazing God. He's a miracle working God. He can heal cancer. He can take away disease. He can give you another job. He can get you another place. He can do all of those things. But many times God says, no, I put you here to use you. I can fix your... That's nothing for God. He just spoke the world into existence. I can fix any problem you have, but I'm going to let you keep it. Because when you was on the mountaintop, you was kind of bragging on what you've done. But you know, ever since you've been in the valley, the only thing you could do was beg me and ask me for my power. So I'm here to tell you tonight, you're looking at a broken preacher. You're looking at a preacher that feels his thorn every day that he lives. But you're also looking at a preacher. For 3 years, God has done amazing things. If he would have done those things 27 years prior, I would have boasted. I would have said, look at me. But now every night of my life, as I struggle to preach one word, I walk off a platform saying, God, how'd you do that? God, I don't understand. Paul said, I'll tell you how. When you're weakest, what you don't understand, that's when you're at your strongest. Sure, God wants to use you. Man, God wants to use your life. And He can take away your thorn. He can take away the pain. He can take away anything in your life that is hurting you. But just maybe, God is getting ready to do something in your life you never dreamed because of your thorn. I want you to stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Our brother's going to play softly. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around this evening. In just a moment, I want us all to come. It's revival time. It's not Sunday school time. It's revival time. Don't you want God to use your children? Don't you want God to use your grandchildren? Do you not want to be used of God? God's power, God, not yours, God's power is available to you tonight. I don't know what that means, and I don't know the struggle you may go through. I have no idea the valleys you may have to walk through, but I know this. When you're weak, when you're strong. That's when God displays Himself in your life. So I want to pray, and people are already here, but I'm going to ask everybody. I'm going to ask every mother, every father. Maybe it's been a long time since you came to the altar. Coming to a public altar is a place of humility. That's why many Christians will never come, but I'm asking you to come tonight. Let's all come. Say, Lord, I do want you to use me. God, I do want your strength. God, I do want your power. But God, I know I can't do it in myself. Dear Heavenly Father, move in this invitation as you're already moving. God, help us all to come, to humble ourselves at a public altar. Let us come pray for children. Let us come pray for grandchildren. God, let us pray for that young person that thinks God can't do nothing with them. When in reality, God will probably do the most with them. Lord, help us all. Bless this invitation as our brother sings in Jesus' name. Would you come right now? Every child of God, brother, you sing as they come.